Isabel Wilkerson, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of the New York Times bestsellers The Warmth of Other Suns and Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents, tweeted this on January 21st, 2021, the day after President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris were inaugurated. Just now starting to realize the emotional toll, the psychic weight we have carried, what it does to the spirit to hold your breath for this long. Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Breathing Room, a space where people of color and faith can come together to have our lived experiences acknowledged, to witness each other's journey, and to take a collective deep breath. My name is Kevin Holland. This is episode one, and the title is The Why. Last June, Floyd Grosset, who is a great dude and a dear brother and friend, he was a minister in the Phoenix Church for many years. He and his wife and his family were there, and they recently relocated to take a ministry position in Northern Virginia. I have known him through the years. He and I and many other ministers of color have been a part of the ICLC for decades, and we would interact at different times at seminars and different things and have different members move from his church to my church and vice versa, so we would communicate. And so there was a connection, though we aren't that close and haven't ever been in the same local church together. So last summer, amid all the unrest in June, he reached out to me and said, "Hey, man, I want to get together a group of brothers, as he called them, people of color, black guys that were ministers in the ICLC. And I thought, yeah, man, I'll join. And so I got on the call. Something happened inside of me. You know how you've had those experiences where you go in and you don't anticipate something life-changing, but in fact, that's what God does. Something happened inside of my heart that I wasn't anticipating, but that really felt great. And we were just talking about what it was like to be a Jesus follower and a church leader in a family of churches that we all love, the ICLC, so many people of all different backgrounds that we love, and yet have this unique lived experience and be an American Christian in an American church and deal with the effects of systemic racism directly and indirectly, and trying to navigate those in a setting and in a church community that loves us, that cares about us, that is as devoted and racially diverse as any that we know of, and yet there's a disconnect when it comes to the issue of race. Of course, in our history, the topics that we have not been able to talk about really are race and also socio-political issues. And so we've had this sort of dichotomy. On the one hand, we're super intimate. We do life together. Many disciples of all colors go on vacation together, raise our kids together, study the Bible with each other's friends and so forth. And so there's a really sincere intimacy and deep connection. But then on the other hand, these taboo subjects aren't talked about. And so there's a sense where even though we're in one church, we live in two vastly different worlds. And so that became evident. So here I am on this Zoom call, and I am with 10 or so other evangelists and ministers in our fellowship of churches, most of whom I don't know super well, but have a lot of love and affection for. And yet the sense of them and all of us getting each other without having to translate or code switch or explain, you know, that sense of people just inherently understand, even though we're different, we're not a monolith, and we all have different experiences. We have a similar lived experience as well. And it was soul filling, and it just lifted your spirit because you were among people who got you and you got them without any effort, because you inhabit the same skin and you live in the same country that has the same history. And so I'm forever indebted to Floyd and their other guys in that group for that time. And I realized it ministered to me. And for so long, I think that I have not been in touch with the disparity that is in the United States and in our churches. I have been a Jesus follower 42 years, been on staff and in the ministry 38 years, and have been leading and helping servant here with the Turning Point Church now for 28 years. And all of that time, my effort has been in trying to lead a multicultural, multigenerational, multi-ethnic church and really not making things about race. In fact, the last time we did a statistical review, our church was 30% Black, 30% white, 30% Latino or Hispanic, and then about 8% Asian, 2% Middle Eastern and other. And that was one of the things we've always thanked God for and gloried in is our racial diversity. And so I'm just bopping along doing my thing. You know, it's hard enough trying to build a church. And then God broke my heart in the middle of 2020 after Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and then with George Floyd. Of course, since 2013 with Trayvon Martin all the way through to 2020, there's been heartbreaks after heartbreak in dealing with and seeing Black life extinguished by police officers and even those that are not police officers. Every time one of us dies like that, I think a piece of us, a part of us, dies along with them. But I think seeing the video, probably you felt the same way, of George Floyd's murder did something. The molecules in my brain were rearranged. My DNA was reconfigured. And what I finally concluded is that God broke my heart. You know, there's a song that our church loves called Hosanna. It's by the Hillsong United. And one of the lyrics in the bridge is, "Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I have for your kingdom's cause." And I think he broke my heart. And I think that I had just sort of resigned myself to this being normal and it being better than it was in the 60s or better than it was during the Jim Crow era. And I had just sort of put blinders on. And when I was profiled or there was some racial tension, I just handled it myself, but I never shared it with other people. I certainly didn't share it with the staff or the broader church because I didn't want to weaponize race. And yet what I realized is that I muted myself. I didn't do it intentionally, but perhaps it was just that sense that we all learn to accept this absurdity that there wouldn't be equal justice under the law in 2021 as normal. And so we just go about our way. I remember reading in Jamar Tisby's book, The Color of Compromise, him sharing about Lecrae, who is the Christian rapper who was a Black guy. And he has a massive following, had a massive following among a lot of white millennial evangelical Christians. And so I remember him remarking, saying that he had all these fans and this huge following. And then when he started to speak out, kind of like Colin Kaepernick, when he started to speak out against racism and police brutality against unarmed Black people, he lost so many, like a ton of his followers. And people who used to love him all of a sudden weren't feeling him anymore. And he just said it really messed with his relationship with God to see that their following and their love was conditional. Hey, I'm good with you as long as you don't talk about this, as long as you don't bring up that. But when you start talking about that subject, then we're going to have to part ways. That reality has dawned on me that all of us, and I have been trained to be apolitical, which means we don't speak up or speak out when there are issues that some would consider political. But I think in the name of that, that's just been for me, and I'm speaking for me. That has caused me to not speak out when in my spirit I knew I needed to. When immigrant children were separated from their parents at the border, I should have spoken out publicly and denounced that. The truth is, as a friend of mine said, there is a person behind every policy. At the end of every policy, there is a person. It just struck me and I made a decision. I'm not going to be silent anymore. I'm not going to mute anymore. I'm going to speak out and I'm not going to be apolitical because the world is not apolitical. And political issues and socioeconomic issues affect the well-being and the spiritual and emotional and physical health of Black and brown people in this country. And so I've got to speak out. I think you have to speak out in whatever way the Holy Spirit calls you to. So it dawned on me that just like Floyd knew that guys like me needed a fellowship and needed a space to be able to talk openly about race, to talk openly about sociopolitical issues, and to be honest about what's going on, just like I needed that. I realized that there is not a platform for Christians of color, people of faith and of color, to be able to share those things, because in our church, either on the corporate level or in the small group or community group level, it is very uncomfortable when you talk about race and sociopolitical issues, and that is discouraged. So here we are, we love our brothers and sisters, and yet we've got this lived experience that we need to be able to speak on and not stuff and process, but there's not really a place that's conducive to do that. And so I thought, okay, we need to do a podcast. You know, I thought, I want to share that experience with other people of color, especially if you don't feel like you have a safe place or a functional place or a space that is conducive to you being fully you. I do think that, as Ibram Kendi wrote about in his book, Stamped from the Beginning, we learn to assimilate and we learn to accommodate and we learn to code switch and we learn to fit in as the non-dominant culture to what the spoken and unspoken rules of the dominant culture are. And so a part of us dies, we lose a part of us, and we don't benefit those that are around us because they don't get the full person. They get a muted person. So I want to offer a space where, in having our lived experiences acknowledged, and acknowledgement is so important. Probably that's the thing that's the most important to me through this medium, is that lived experience can be acknowledged, not explained away, not questioned, not minimized, not looked at with skepticism, but honored and validated and accepted as truth. That's the main thing that I want. I hope that it helps us to breathe a little bit easier. And my hope is that there wouldn't be any Christian of color, any person of color and faith out there that feels alone in the struggle of following Jesus while Black in an American church. That's my hope. That's my goal. Last fall, I got this DM on Facebook from a friend. He's actually a teacher in one of the churches in our fellowship. And he says, "Kevin, so-and-so here from such-and-such church. I would really appreciate some time to chat with you about racial justice in the church, even just to touch bases for a few minutes. I could really use some help calibrating my feelings and getting an action plan. I don't want to take a lot of your time, so whatever time you have would be very helpful. I am in desperate need of some guidance. I appreciate anything you can offer. Thanks." So flash forward to February of 2021. This was cool. That same person connected with me via email. He said, "Thanks for sharing. I'm so grateful for everything that comes from this group." And he said, "Just to get a notification from this is refreshing. It just reminds me that I'm not alone." That was on February 18th. So that's the hope. That's why this podcast. I'm hoping for it to be a collaboration with as many people as want to share in it, to interview different leaders of color and members of color from all over the United States, just to be able to share what your journey has been like. And so I hope that your heart is encouraged. I want you to hear me. You are not alone. I know you know that God is with you. He lives in you by the Holy Spirit. And yet sometimes we can feel alone. God is with us and He is going to lead us to better places. And I hope that we can journey together. And I really hope that we can be there for each other. Thanks again for spending some time in the Breathing Room, a space where people of color and faith can come together to have our lived experiences acknowledged, to witness each other's journey, and to take a collective deep breath. Be sure to subscribe to The Breathing Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or however you listen. And if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a rating and a review. To connect with us, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send us an email at thebreathingroompod@gmail.com. For The Breathing Room, I'm Kevin Holland, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.